In a world filled with war, hate, suffering, and Justin Bieber, two guys fix it all with a battle about a movie. One film, two opinions, one coin, two sides. They feud. You decide. It's time for Film Feud.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Film Feud, the podcast where we debate whether top-rated movies should be top-rated. I'm Vidur.
And I'm Vikram.
What's happening, Vikram?
Not much, man. What's happening with you?
Nothing much, except for I'm prepped for a pretty intense feud, because the movie we're feuding this week is Avengers Endgame. But before we get into all that, why don't you tell our listeners what we're doing here?
For sure. So we take a movie from the IMDb Top 250, we toss a coin, heads argues for and tails argues against. Simple.
Simple, unlike the plot of this movie, but we're going to get into all of that. I'm pretty pumped for this one.
Because, clearly, you said you're already prepped somehow.
Well, we watched the movie plenty of times. We looked into it plenty of times. But, you know, recently the DVD came out, which gave me an opportunity to have this feud with you and rewatch the movie. So I'm pumped for that. I'm a little nervous about the coin toss, and I refuse to reveal my feelings, except for the fact that we watched this movie together. And made some videos about it.
We did. We saw it the first day it came out. But including that, how many times do you think you've seen the movie?
So far? I mean, yeah. I saw it twice in theaters. And then if you count some extraneous prints and YouTube clips.
Right.
That's technically it, right? Until this DVD came out, there was no other way to watch the movie.
Can you start saying Blu-ray, please?
Oh, I'm sorry, the Blu-ray.
Jesus, DVD. It's just dating us all of a sudden, man.
Blu-rays will be dated by the time the aliens are listening to this podcast as well.
For sure, for sure. I think I've seen this movie about 4 times now, I'm going to be honest.
So it's going to be your 5th watch.
It is going to be my 5th watch, yes.
Vikram, you must really love it if you've seen it 4 times.
It's the biggest movie of all time. It deserves me watching it 4 times.
Thanks to the re-release, it's now the biggest movie of all time. Also, that logic is BS because I'm 100% sure you haven't seen Avatar 4 times, which was the biggest movie.
I've seen Avatar more than 4 times.
You're a weirdo.
Why?
Well, thankfully, we won't be debating Avatar anytime soon because it's not in the IMDb Top 250 and it's not special enough for us to do a special episode. But
it's not in the Top 250?
I'd break you down on that. But anyway, before we get too derailed by other highest-grossing movies of all time, why don't we just get into it with a coin toss?
Sure, let's do it.
Slightly high-stakes coin toss. I'll be tossing the coin. Heads means I argue for and tails means I argue against. Let's go. And it's heads.
And you surprisingly love this movie, don't you?
I never not confessed.
Exactly,
that.
It could have gone either way.
No, it couldn't have. I love this movie. This movie is mind-blasting. Wait, let's not focus on me. Let's focus on how you're feeling.
I'm feeling absolutely fine because
you're against.
It's exactly what I wanted.
On your 5th watch,
yeah,
you're going to argue against Avengers Endgame.
It's so much easier after the 5th watch, if you think about
it. Oh my God, this is the worst. I don't even want our listeners to lose faith in our process here. Why don't we just go watch the movie? Everybody's seen it. Let's just get right into it. Let's go watch the movie.
Let's do it.
Vikram, how did they do it, man? How did they do it? How did they pull this movie off?
I think they've overdone it. That's the problem now. Because
oh,
they're
going to
have such a big problem moving forward from phase 3.
I concede. They might.
They're gonna
but this movie. This movie.
Really?
22 movies. Dude, the van from Ant-Man had a role.
Yeah, oh wow, because it had a mouse running in it.
No, I mean when he plays it during the battle, it's like a callback you only get if you've seen Ant-Man, and it's like such a payoff. This is how you make a movie
that's
universe.
That's so weird. That's the first thing you said, because I feel like those are the sort of things that just shoehorned in there and made the movie not as good as it was supposed to be.
It had a legit role. It was the only time machine left, and it was standing in the battle.
Yeah, just conveniently, randomly at one spot in the battlefield, it was just standing there.
It was actually quite the opposite of convenient. You know what? We can start talking about the battle first.
Yeah,
thing.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
Let's start talking about the battle.
Yeah.
Come to the third act.
Yeah, for sure. Because the first two, I mean, we can just
the
not
greatest
talk about it.
Battle of all time. And I just want to say, by the way, I ended up watching this movie like 3 or 4 times.
Just be honest, you've seen it like 6-7 times, haven't
no,
you?
No, I mean before we sat down for this feud.
Oh, so ever since we did the intro till now, you've seen it 3 more times.
Oh my God. It's that good. Wow, I'm obsessed with this. I think I'm in love with this movie.
Dude, calm down.
I want to grow old with this movie and like have kids with it.
I think we need to take you to a doctor, bro.
I've changed my mind about the battle too. I used to think Infinity War is a better battle. Infinity War was a battle, right? Like, it was a multi-hero battle. This battle is the culmination of everything, the way they squeeze in different arcs, higher stakes,
I think squeeze in is like the perfect choice of words here, because they literally do squeeze it in. And even every Avenger conceivable to mankind is in this battle for some reason. Makes no sense. Why is Pepper Potts fighting?
Because Tony built her the suit.
What? When? They just allude to that one mask he's gifting to his wife or whatever. And suddenly she's an Avengers ready to just fight.
You know, part of what I want to do in this feud is talk about the underrated aspects of this movie. Because this is the biggest movie of all time. Right?
There's nothing underrated.
There's so much underrated. And we'll get into it. But okay. Since we're starting talking about the battle.
Okay.
This is going to be a controversial opinion, especially to you.
Okay.
The Avengers assembled scene is underrated.
Yeah, are you serious? I thought that was the worst use of that line. Like, they couldn't figure out in 22 movies where to use that line except for that part when they're already assembled and ready to go. And he says, Avengers assemble?
Vikram, I'm not even lying to you. I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it right
now.
Bro,
we need to take you to a doctor. He said Avengers assemble when they've already assembled. What sense does that make?
It's the best 1 minute in movie history. It might be the best 1 minute in my history, but I don't want to insult some girls I've been with.
Oh, God, man. It's from, I don't know. You seriously like that part?
Firstly, the Russo brothers, genius. They made us forget that effectively the Avengers have come back after Hulk's snap. So when Captain America is ready to take on Thanos and his entire army, which was from the trailer, but then they have that picturesque shot, like the wide shot of Captain America against the world. And then it comes on your left. And then Doctor Strange does that yellow sparkly thing.
Dude, come on, man. Like, literally, he opened, like, what happened there? So he was just basically, he's the one who assembled the Avengers, technically.
Who, Doctor Strange?
Yeah, so he got every conceivable Avenger without or with knowing them,
not
where
just
they were.
Him. He had his entire, like, Mundu army with him.
Well, I mean, they only show the other guy.
But they're all capable. No, they show... No. They show all the...
I mean, in the movies, they only
Kamal
show that...
Kamal Taj people.
Yeah, they only show that one other guy. And now, all of a sudden, he has a Mundu army who can also do the revolving hand, yellow,
they can all
sparkly
do it.
Thing.
Again, if you've seen Doctor Strange, it's a payoff. There's a Mundu army waiting. They all learn how to do the yellow sparkly thing. So now they do it.
But where are they in, like... Where are they in Infinity War, for example? When it's just him and his right-hand Mundu.
But there's no chance for them to be involved, right? Because he's on Earth and then his right-hand Mundu is there. His name is Wong, by the way. Let's just refer to him with respect.
Okay.
And then...
Wongdu.
And then he's on Titan. Why are we getting into this? Vikram, let's focus on the scene. Ibambe, bro. On your left, portal opens.
Dude, it's so
Black
much.
Black Panther comes in. Eye contact, slight nod. Just acknowledgement. Like, you've been doing the hard work. I've got this from here. 30 seconds of straight goosebumps.
Of just every Avenger you can think of just coming on screen.
My God.
Is that goosebumps? I think that was very, very forced. Very forced.
That's a 10-year payoff.
That's a very forced... Like, you don't necessarily have to show it that way.
What they've done is, like, if they made Boyhood, but every year they do the 5-minute was an amazing movie, and then the climax of it was an amazing movie, and then the second part of the climax was the greatest movie of all time.
Seriously, dude. And then what about the Avengers we all, like, grew to love? What about Hulk? What was Hulk doing in that battle?
He was Professor Hulk.
He was just absent. He wasn't there. They didn't show him in the final fight, if you think about it.
No, he wasn't. They showed him in this one moment when Captain America is, like, fighting this guy, and then he throws him towards Hulk, and Hulk doesn't even need any efforts. He just swats him away. And not to mention, he was a little tired from all the snapping he'd done.
Right. My point exactly when you said that there was a moment when they showed Hulk. This is Hulk. This is, like, one of the major Avengers. How are they not showing him? What about Captain Marvel?
There is no such thing as a major Avenger. The Trinity. And I do mean Trinity.
Uh-huh.
They're basically godlike creatures.
Uh-huh.
Iron Man, Captain America, and Thor.
Right.
They get all the focus. It's about them.
Okay.
Right? Black Widow's dead already.
Okay.
Hawkeye, which is my only concession for the whole movie, his arc, he has a big role to play because he has a gauntlet initially. And Hulk. I mean, those three aren't as important. One's
okay, let's talk about your holy trinity for a second.
Holy, man.
Your holy trinity.
But wait. Before we move on, please admit it's underrated. It's so good.
What's underrated?
Not enough people.
Avengers Assemble.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? It's horrible. It was not needed at all.
And Captain...
The timing of it. It doesn't make sense. Like, grammatically, it doesn't make sense.
Did you say grammatically?
Yeah, all the Avengers are assembled, ready to go. And he says, Avengers Assemble, Ben. Avengers Assemble is a call sign for assembling the Avengers in the comic books. It's not a call sign for.
It's not like a bat signal, is it? It's like it's a war chant.
No, it's not. Bombay is a war chant.
Then it's used as a war chant here.
It's so stupid, man. He didn't even do the assembling.
You stuck on the grammar. What's wrong with you?
Because that's how I have a point to prove where they use this term in certain. Areas in certain times in the comic, and they didn't. They got that wrong, which is so messed up. It's the first time they ended up using that term in the entire 22 movie arc, and they got it wrong.
Firstly, they referred to it just jokingly at the end of Age of Ultron when they cut him off at the assemble word. Even then, they're assembled in front of him. Okay, so apparently
that's
the use
case. Also, they
did
it wrong twice. Okay, great, good job.
This movie made my 12-year-old self retroactively. Cream his pants. I'll just go for that euphemism there.
That's a disturbing thought. I do not want to dive into that. Let's move on, man. I give it to you. I give you the Avengers Assemble point.
Persistence has paid off.
Persistence and some really, 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 really bad visual imagery in my mind.
Apart from the Thor entrance scene, wasn't it better than Infinity War? In terms of moments, in terms of the action, and then in terms of the stakes and like... So much more character-driven stakes as well. I would say that the end of Infinity War had character-driven stakes when Thanos is finally just wading his way to Vision. But that was missing from the rest of the battle. The rest of the battle was just like them versus nameless people. And here Thanos is his badass self. He's so involved. He's 2014 pissed off Thanos. And he's just going for it, man. And he's kicking ass. Like in the previous movies, he kind of just doesn't go all the way. He just stabs Tony, moves on. He punches Cap, moves on. Thor, like whatever, they have their whole thing. In this, he's going for it. He's like going for death blows with a one-man mission to get the gauntlet. Like he literally choke slams Captain America. Then the next time he wants to take out Cap, he like punches him boom in the face. Cap's understandably out. He uses like essentially... Thor, Stormbreaker against him. He's like going for the kill. It almost makes it almost like the R-rated version of the Infinity War battle, which is what I loved.
Okay, I have a couple of rebuttals there. Firstly, to your point about character stakes within the battle, Infinity War was much better at that because of Vision, them trying to remove the stone from Vision. It wasn't nameless people. His sort of Thanos' Mundus were well established.
Outriders.
In Infinity War. And then they were trying to break into Wakanda. So it was very high stakes within the battle. Here, the stakes were sort of force established even before the battle began. But then within the battle, there was nothing. It was just utter chaos. They were just trying to show one Avenger fighting, as many Avengers fighting for as many shots as they possibly could. So it was all just shoehorned in together. And secondly, your Holy Trinity, all right? Firstly, in Infinity War, when Thanos is obviously way more powerful than he is in this movie, here he's just like mere...
No, he's not obviously more powerful.
Of course, he has like all the Infinity Stones except for the Mind Stone.
Oh, that way. But he's also not going for the kill.
That doesn't matter. Generally,
it does. He explains it. He's like, oh, I hate you guys now. This is personal. I'm going to kill you.
Okay, but then shouldn't the Trinity that you're talking about be more effective on Thanos in this movie than they were in Infinity War?
Thanos is going for the kill. They were also not together in Infinity War. So, like, you can't really judge. But here...
That's actually easier for me to judge because if they're not all together and they're still able to come closer to defeat Thanos then, and here they had nothing on him.
It actually adds to Thanos' character. He was clearly, you know, in Infinity War, it was subtle that he was holding back. And in this, it's clear that he was holding back then because he's so much more powerful. And him, this is a guy who took on Hulk one-on-one and just like pummeled him to the ground, right?
But that's Hulk. Hulk
is the strongest Avenger.
Well, Captain Marvel is the strongest Avengers, according to me.
Dude, the Captain Marvel entry, I didn't even like Captain Marvel. She got her moment.
She's like an Avengers cheat code, dude.
Yeah, she's a Deus Ex Machina that's well established, so it's not really a Deus Ex Machina.
It wasn't well established. It was very paper thin in terms of why she wasn't around. She's just like, I have other things to do. That's basically what
there's a lot of planets, bro.
Yeah, but when the world is about to end.
So she finds out Thanos is here.
And then she comes and literally in all of 5 seconds destroys his ship.
Destroys the ship. You know what it reminded me of? It
was and like then she's absent again. This is just stupid, man. It's just like, let's give every Avenger a good scene and then let's figure out a way to just like end it.
Dude, this battle took years to construct, okay? And it's really well done. And now that I've seen it 6 times, 3 times, full movie.
I feel like you brainwashed.
Many more times I've seen only the battle because, you know, goosebumps and all.
Mm-hmm.
The Captain Marvel, once she enters, it's like perfectly executed, okay? She enters, destroys the ship. Firstly, they have their all is lost moment when he rains fire. Before that, they established the Scarlet Witch moment too, where Scarlet Witch is like a badass. She essentially
Because they
takes
had
on,
to have a scene for every Avenger.
Not just that, but she it's a character
I'm sorry,
moment.
She was there in another prominent scene, which we'll talk about.
Which scene?
The Womengers Assemble.
Oh my God.
The Womengers Assemble.
Okay, wait, we'll get to that. Firstly, can you not call it Womengers Assemble? It's the A-Force team up.
I haven't heard it in the movie, so I'm going to call it whatever I want to call it. You can't write an article and try to convince me that there's a name for it.
Okay, before we move on to Womengers broadly, let's just talk about Scarlet Witch and Captain Marvel. Scarlet Witch kicks ass, and she can take on Thanos one-on-one because she has so much power and she's angry.
Right.
The last time she unleashed this is when her brother died.
Mm-hmm.
May he rest in peace and never be referred to again in the Marvel movies, which has been the case. And then all is lost in terms of when Thanos decides to rain fire, because that ship is a beast and it's just way too powerful. The biggest threat in Avengers 1 were those Leviathan-like, worm-like flying creatures.
Right.
And now they just are coming out aplenty from this ship. So yeah, all is lost. And then they just stop because they start shooting at Captain Marvel. It reminded me of that Dragon Ball Z moment, you know, like when Vegeta is like, oh my God, that's impossible. It's over 9,000, like the power level in his counter.
Which like increases every season.
Oh, of course. By the end, it's in the millions.
Yeah, exactly.
But and Captain Marvel goes blonde, you know, like she goes Super Saiyan. So you know, some parallels there.
Yeah.
But then once she enters a fight, she's... Okay, once she enters, that's when she has the Womengers moment. So we can talk about that in a moment.
Okay.
But everything is smooth after that. Like, she's going for the time machine. Thanos stops it by destroying it. That blast hurts her. So by the time she recovers, Thanos is about to put on the gauntlet. She tries. Thanos defeats her, punches her. He thinks he's done. He doesn't know how powerful she is. And then she has the most badass moment ever, bro, when she's holding Thanos' fist. When he punches her in the face and she doesn't blink.
Right.
How badass was that?
Exactly. Where was she all this while? They forgot to see
other
exactly.
Planets.
There is no. What other planets are doing? What when the entire universe is about to end?
She's with the Skrulls.
What is she doing then? These guys know they're going after the after
half
Thanos.
Half the universe died. You think she's not useful at other places?
But then they know what this plan is with Thanos.
No, she doesn't. They're just time traveling to bring back the stones.
Exactly.
She doesn't know Thanos is going to reappear, right?
But shouldn't she be a part of all of this? Like, this is the most important thing that's ever there. It's just super convenient. They'll just pull out an Avenger from a hat whenever it's convenient and then just like brush them aside just because they're not convenient anymore.
Vikram, I'm disappointed in you.
I'm disappointed in you liking this movie so much. You've seen it 3 times. What's the matter with you, bro?
3 times yesterday, and this was a weak argument.
Wow, dude, I think you need help, man. I'm worried about you as a friend. Like, genuinely, how can you see it 3 times in a day after watching it like 4 times already?
You know what? Why don't we move on to the one bitchy point I know you're going to have? And I do mean bitchy here.
I have multiple bitchy points. Which one do you want to move on to? I have Iron Man, I have Hulk, I have Doctor Strange, I have Womengers Assemble. I have so many. Which one do you want to move to?
This
is all in the final battle, by the way, huh? If we start talking about the first and second act, you're going to start crying.
Just start with Womengers. Let's talk about it.
What do you call them? A-Force. What is that?
A-Force is like the Marvel comic all-female team.
But why do they have to do it like in such a contrived way? Like, why can't they just show some class, man? Why can't they integrate them with the normal Avengers in fighting sequences and scenes? Why do they have to have a separate scene where Avengers who absolutely make no sense on a battlefield, including Pepper Potts and Antler Lady? Like, what are they supposed to be doing there?
Because why should boys have all the fun, you know?
Right, exactly. You have
girl power.
What girl power? Show girl power in a classy and in a nice, like, inclusive way. What is this?
What's classy? Classy is subjective. I thought it was classy.
I'll
grant you that it was contrived. I think that's the right word for it.
It was horribly shown. It was horribly shown because all of them show up all together. It's like they have this pager thing going. Where it's like, guys, come here. Come next to Spider-Man. Womengers Assemble next to Spider-Man. And what is Antler Lady supposed to do? Okay, tell me that. What is her? What is
she has a name.
Which is? I forget already.
It's Mantis.
Mantis, yes. Thank you so much. What is Mantis supposed to do? Like, climb on top of
she
like
put a whole planet to sleep, bro. Her powers are just
undiscovered. What is she supposed to do in that fight sequence?
Okay,
when people are shooting lasers at her and all of that stuff.
She can judge if somebody's scared and then like attack them. She can put people to sleep. Hey, listen, that's like a non-lethal battle, you know? That's right. Like a very powerful force.
But then I fail to imagine how she can... What, she'll have to creep up on someone, jump on their head?
She's a guardian of the galaxy. What does Peter Quill do? He shoots guns, right? She'll shoot guns. What is Shuri doing? She's shooting laser gloves.
Oh, laser gloves. I thought she'd like throw a piece of her brain at people, trying to convince, like beat them with intellect or something.
If there's anything you want to complain about, what you should complain about the fact is that Captain Marvel didn't need any help.
She ultimately didn't need any help. So there was, again, adds to the whole contrived bit to it. What's Pepper Potts doing? I'm so pissed off that all of a sudden they decided to show her as a fighting Avenger.
No, they foreshadowed that at the start of the movie.
They can't just throw a random line in there and expect people to...
They showed a helmet at the start of the movie. What more do you want?
I feel like he's a well-trained Avenger. He's coming
out. I don't know what she's doing. How do you know?
Achha.
She lives with Tony. Maybe he gives her martial art lessons, suit lessons. So how did War Machine become War Machine? Even he just picked up a suit, right?
He's an army major and a general or whatever it is.
That's
he's
a fair point, but she's a female.
She's a well-trained assassin.
She's a well-trained CEO, and that comes with its own special set of skills.
Oh, dude, they could have just done it a little more subtly, a little more classy, just integrate them all together in this one whole thing. They didn't have to have that separate scene, which ultimately demeaned the female Avengers because they ultimately weren't required in that fight.
Vikram, sometimes you just need to give up perfect logic and like your subjective definition of classy to just create a moment that just makes the audience's hands come together and clap.
No one clapped when we saw that movie.
Maybe because we were at a lame theater, but I know females and girls and young girls and women all over the world.
Have you spoken to any?
Even those, I've actually read a lot of thought pieces on this because, you know, I was wondering about that moment too, and the writers were very, very self-aware of what they were doing.
Of course they were. They knew what they were doing.
So it's
but
like,
to your point, I've read a lot of thought pieces which go against the whole logic of the
by
scene
women,
as well. Yes, of course.
Most of the time when women go against it, they still say like, yes, I loved it in the theater. But then like afterwards, I thought about it. So I disagree.
I don't know which thought pieces you're reading. You're reading all this Marvel propaganda probably. I've read a lot of thought pieces where they're like, this was the stupidest female girl power scene that's ever shown in cinema history.
You're like a right winger, bro.
You're a right winger because Trump's in power and you're pro right now. So you're the right winger here.
Okay. I have no idea what that means. You're lashing out a little bit.
Because I can't believe so many things about your love.
You were biased and you seeked out opinions that agreed with you. But if you were to expand...
Same for you, brother. You did the exact same thing. Where you read thought pieces that it was pro.
Just because most film critics love Marvel doesn't mean it's Marvel propaganda. It just means Marvel's that good. I can't do anything. It's the biggest movie of all time for a reason.
Well, that doesn't mean it's
and
a good
movie. And
part
of that reason is also a re-release.
Yeah.
But it's also...
No, I mean, even if it was the second biggest movie, it's still a lot. There's a lot of props to be given for its commercial success. For Marvel's commercial success in general. But I feel like they've overused that formula, which has sucked out all this money from people. And going forward, it's going to hurt them.
Wait, this movie was not formula at all, though, right? It was just like culmination, essentially.
Exactly. But then it's a culmination of whatever they set up. And it also followed a basic formula that these guys have been building movies around. What I do feel really seriously is that Phase 4, Phase 5, Phase 6, or whatever they have planned for the future won't do as well as what they managed to achieve here because they've actually oversaturated everyone with the superhero genre.
I could agree with you about not doing as well because obviously the standards are so high and Far From Home is out. And by the way, they re-released Far From Home to try and make it go over the 1 billion mark. I feel
oh, really?
Something like that. Like to make it
stop it, guys. Enough.
Yeah, but anyway, so they said...
Did it, by the way? I'm curious.
I don't know. I didn't look into the details, but the point is like Endgame is a weird peak. You know, you could have actually said that when the Avengers came out, when Ultron came out and everybody was like, oh my God, it's over already because Ultron wasn't as good. It didn't have that special magic. And then it came out with Civil War. And so they have been upping their game. And, you know, if you have to bet against Marvel in terms of their box office, that's probably a losing bet because you would be saying the same thing 5 years ago. And, you know, when I used to like look into this stuff for work, in fact, like I remember making a list of superhero movies that were going to come out in 2017, 2018, 2019, back when they announced this slate for Phase 2 and 3 in, I think this was 2014 when I was looking at it.
Right.
And if you saw the numbers, like there were 3 superhero movies that came out in 2014. There were 4 that were lined up for 2015. And by the time 2017, 2018, 2019 came along, there were like 8, you know, like the Deadpools and the X-Men and this and that. And if you looked at that graph, you'd be like, oh my God, superhero saturation, these 8 movies won't do well. Well, it turns out the cream rises to the top, right? So X-Men, like whatever the latest stupid one was, that didn't do well because it wasn't good. And Endgame continues to crash and have a massive following because they built a massive superhero universe that everybody loves.
But all I'm saying is that that doesn't necessarily make it a great movie. It's fan service. So if people just love the culmination of the
I'll tell you what makes it a great movie, because I feel like we're straying from the point.
Okay.
So I want to get back to the second most underrated thing about this movie. And this one's not like a...
What was the first? I've already forgotten.
The Avengers Assemble 1 minute of greatest course, of course. Movie history minute.
Just can't throw words and make it the greatest.
Not
even how it goes.
No? Okay. No. Anyway, second, underrated.
Mm-hmm. If you say Iron Man, I'm going to punch you in the face.
Nebula, bro.
Nebula.
Great acting, firstly.
She's a great actor.
Yeah? Yeah. I've seen her a lot in Doctor Who.
Yeah, she was great in Doctor Who.
Karen Gillan, that's her name, right?
Yeah.
I think her character has just evolved so much. Like when Nebula first came in Guardians, she was just so whatever. I mean, she was just like a fodder for Gamora to have a character. And now she's so well fleshed out. And there were two instances that really stuck with me for her acting. One, do you remember when it's like Nebula versus Nebula and Gamora is saying, Nebula, please just give up and join us. Like, you know what he does. You know, he gets the stone. And then she just looks at them and she says, he won't let me. You might not notice a moment, but like she's so good. And second is like the opening scene with Tony and Nebula.
Right.
Firstly, that pairing itself is like so cute. It's like Game of Thrones, you know, how Game of Thrones became really popular for having this massive sort of repository of characters. And then they would just pair them, the Hound and Arya and like Jaime and Brienne. Right. And so here, Nebula and Tony were so good. And then when they're playing that flicking game, like the football flicking game.
And then she won.
Yeah, she wins. And he's like, well, you won. Was it fun? And she looks at him, considers it. It's like a robot processing. And she's like, it was fun.
Right.
Just those two moments of acting. I mean, Nebula just killed it. And because you seem very unimpressed by the stone look on your face, I want to get into the details here, you know, the stuff that people miss.
Oh, God, we weren't in the details already.
Ancient One.
Okay, yeah.
Every movie is improved by Tilda Swinton.
Of course.
Let's just face it.
Agreed.
Another one moment. Do you remember when...
Wait, that was your point?
Firstly, Tilda Swinton is enough of a point. That it should be like Tilda Swinton ... said.
Okay.
But that one moment when she's having the conversation with Hulk, which is the only scene, and then she's completely refusing to give him the time stone, and then Hulk says, then why did Strange give it to Thanos? And then she just freezes.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, he's asked, why did he give it to Thanos? And then she just freezes, looks him up and down, goes closer to him to see that he's telling the truth, and then just doesn't know what else to say, so she says, why? Like, she answers his why with why. She's so confused. That one moment, man, when you watch the movie three times, the genius of these moments really come out.
Yeah, dude. I think you need some fresh air, man. Three viewings in a day has really gotten to you. Tilda Swinton, I agree with. It was a pretty standard exchange that way.
No, it wasn't. You have to go deeper, Vikram. Go deeper.
Man. Just watching it three times doesn't make it a new movie.
I'm sure you've heard this before.
Just because, and also that the plot of the whole timeline and fracture timeline and fixing it also, they completely go against that themselves in the movie with the whole Cap timeline as well. It makes no sense. This movie is just doing fan service on top of fan service, throwing in as many famous characters that they managed to establish or get together for the MCU. And that's all they're doing. It's not a good movie. That's my problem with it. I don't understand when people say it's a great movie. That's the furthest from the truth you can say. Can we stop talking about these stupid side characters that come for like a minute? Can we talk about the main characters?
Yeah, Trinity.
Yeah, I want to talk about Iron Man.
I've heard of him.
Yeah, this whole superhero...
Wait, first say may he rest in peace.
This whole superhero saturation that's been created...
ignored me.
That's been created. I feel like at the top of all of that is this Iron Man saturation, man. The obsession with that guy kind of got out of hand, you have to admit it.
You can't say Iron Man saturation when he's gone now.
It got really out of hand in this movie, didn't it? The whole fan service for Iron Man. I mean, they were willing to do anything for the guy, dude.
They cut off the deleted scene, thankfully.
Thank God for that, by the way.
The one where they all kneel like football player style.
Yeah, that would have just pushed it over the edge.
I agree. Well, they cut it off. They're geniuses.
Geniuses, huh? They kept the rest 39 scenes that they made around Iron Man fan service.
What 39 scenes?
They literally made him into a god, dude. Firstly, tell me something. He's genius, I understand. His technology is crazy, very out there, very well established, understood, even from the comic book times. The guy managed to finagle all the stones into his own gauntlet.
He created the suit to die.
I agree. But first tell me this. If Hulk couldn't handle those Infinity Stones, he could barely get his hand to snap, all right? It took him 10 seconds to get used to the whole power surge when he's like, yeah, I'm okay. And this guy just gets the stones in his hands, looks at Thanos and says, Iron Man, and snaps.
Well, he was dying slowly.
What?
Like the stones were, like the thing was creeping up. You know, if you see the rays of light as they come up.
Dude, how can he just immediately snap after putting the stones on for the first time in his life?
He's wearing the suit. The suit protects him, I'm sure. He's wearing the suit. What? It's not like it's touching his hand, right?
Dude, the suit cannot be that powerful that it's controlling all the Infinity Stones' power and not letting him die.
I actually think
he should be insta-dead. As soon as the stones touch the suit, he should be insta-obliterated.
Firstly, it's a power surge. We don't know that it's like a death-causing power surge, right? Like, every time when Thanos wears it, he feels powerful. When Hulk wore it, he was, like, consumed by that power.
He almost died, dude.
He almost died snapping.
He almost died even trying to adjust his body to the power of the stone. That surge almost killed him very clearly on screen.
Iron Man.
And he's the most powerful Avenger, just like you just said.
Iron Man in his Ultron suit with the Hulkbuster armor is able to take on the Hulk, right?
Okay.
So obviously his suit now with the nano bleeding edge, there's an Iron Man suit in his blood. He's not a normal human.
You're not making any sense.
He's a genius who invented time travel. And
I know you're trying very hard to find logic here, but there is none, Roger. It's fine to admit it. It's just a fan service. It's Iron Man fan service. That's
even,
it.
I don't agree with you, but even if it was only fan service, I Am Iron Man, a callback to the first Iron Man movie, the thing that kicked off the whole universe. Even if it was only that, it would be justified.
This was character assassination of the highest degree by Kevin Feige and his team.
The man's a genius. He knew he might have to do this. He created a suit that was a special suit. He knew this might happen.
Stop saying that was a special suit. He should be insta-dead and you know it. At least take a little more time, yeah. Just give us that benefit of doubt that, oh, he's having a hard time right now. It didn't even look like he was having a hard time.
He was struggling. Think about the pause he took between every word. Think about how much effort it took him. You think that was a dramatic effect. That was just sucking all the energy out of him.
It's just, I don't get it, man. I'm just glad that Robert Downey Jr. is done with Iron Man. I'm glad that Iron Man is out of MCU. Otherwise, I couldn't have taken more of
His
Iron Man.
His death was so sad.
I feel like the next five movies are going to be about, oh, how Tony left us with this and how Tony left us. Just get over it, bro.
Firstly, the connection with him and Spider-Man Peter Parker was so good because it had just kind of been played to in terms of Tony's affection till this point. Even in Infinity War, he was sort of offhanded about it until like the thing where Spider-Man fades away and he was like, oh, I don't feel so good, Mr. Stark.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he comes back, he hugs him. And then again, the minute details, when Tony's lying there and Spider-Man comes and like essentially says goodbye to him and is sad. First, he says like, oh, we did it, Mr. Stark. We did it, Mr. Stark. And then he starts going like, Tony. And then he's like, we did it, sir. We won. Like, it's just like he's trying whatever he's referring to in different ways. And it's so sad. And Tony, he only has like so much life force left. He doesn't even respond to him. He only responds to Pepper by the time she comes and he dies. It's beautiful.
That doesn't prove anything. It's the stupidest scene.
I've moved on from your I Am Iron Man argument. Again, sometimes your hands just clap together, man. You know,
no one was clapping again, but we saw the movie together. No one clapped.
I was clapping my head. I saw the movie again after you in a much better theater and people clapped.
I don't get it, dude. I don't get it. I don't get the whole fan service that they did here. I'm just glad that
he makes the ultimate sacrifice. You remember in 2012 Avengers when Cap asks him, are you the guy to make the sacrifice? He does it in 2012 Avengers, doesn't die, does it again, does die. What do you want?
Good riddance. I'm just happy he's gone, dude. I'm just happy that like they probably like this gives room for Marvel to introduce newer, fresher characters into the MCU. Because this whole phase three of this original Avengers lineup, I'm done and dusted with.
You're a monster, bro. You might be the villain in the next movie.
I will not go near that movie. What about Thor, man? What about Thor from this movie?
Genius to mess
with
this
character. Let's make that guy fat. Genius.
It's not just fat. He's broken. He doesn't even have enough power to actually wear the gauntlet. Otherwise, he would have been the right candidate because he used to be so powerful.
Well, they deny him. He wants to wear it.
Yeah, but the suggestion is that he'll probably die or something. And like, he's so far away from the peak of his powers. And that's why one of your arguments was like, oh, how can they not take on Thanos? Like, Thor is the most powerful Avenger between the three of them by far, especially post-Ragnarok. And he doesn't have it in him. He's like a bodybuilder who hasn't worked out for 5 years.
Okay, but then don't you think it was
Cheese whiz through his veins.
Again, a little contrived to show a character who's broken and well beyond his original power limit to just make him fat. They couldn't show that with other facets within the script, with good dialogue writing.
The problem is that he's fat.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
Because that's how they try to show that he's a broken man.
Unruly hair.
What?
Bear obsession, falls asleep during Avengers meetings.
They just make him a fat, lazy drunkard.
Yeah.
But there's other ways to show off broken man, especially through good writing. So, which obviously is not possible for these guys.
They show him as a broken man at the start of the movie without being fat. He's a broken man first and then he becomes fat.
Right. Exactly. So to reinforce that he's a broken man, they had to show him as a fat guy. That fat guy act got boring in like 5 minutes.
You know, I thought so too when I first saw the movie. I'm like, wait, is he just going to be fat now? I was half hoping for the lightning to make him like into a ripped Thor.
No, that just braids his beard.
It just braids his beard. I realized like I was like every other teenage girl. I was just hoping that he would be ripped again in the movie. But I think the fact that it didn't get over means it wasn't an act. You know, he was just broken. Like he leaves his people. He leaves Asgard. And if you'd look deeper into the movie, as I have with multiple viewings, that whole Thor the Dark World sequence, we haven't spoken about the time heist at all. So let's get into that. That whole Thor the Dark World sequence with his mother,
right.
She actually tells him that, you know, you don't need to be who you're supposed to be. You can be who you are.
Right.
And I think that actually helps him get over it. So that's why he leaves Asgard. So it's actually a lot of character stuff happening for Thor.
I didn't feel it at all, man. I think the scene you're talking about with Rene Russo, I get that because that's some sort of closure for him as well, because he also didn't see, that's the last time he saw his mother. So talking to his mother about that.
And his failure.
That kind of made sense. But then everything else around, well, if he's over that, then when he comes back to the battle, he's supposed to be a super strong guy. He's supposed to be back to his original self, but he's not.
Because there's no magic. He's not. He hasn't been in the game for 5 years. He's not.
There's no game to it, bro. That's what I'm trying to say. Plus, he has both his hammers and his
Stormbreaker
sword thingamajig axe also. So it's not like
the little one and the big one.
It's they're going back and forth. They're oscillating constantly between some plot point, then they're going to some other plot point, which is convenient for that particular scene.
Which is exactly what I'm going to do right now. Oh my God, the hammers remind me of the Captain America wielding Mjolnir moment.
Yeah, fan service through and through.
What?
Fan service.
Yeah, it is fan service.
That's it.
I knew all
of a sudden he can wield the hammer, otherwise he can't.
No.
Why wasn't he worthy before that scene?
He was. The I knew it explains it all. The I knew it is a callback to Ultron when Cap moves the hammer slightly.
Right.
With the intention sort of like, you know, retcon being that Cap maybe could have moved the hammer, but just didn't want to show up Thor or anything.
No, in that case, I knew it makes no sense as a dialogue because Thor didn't want him to move that hammer in that scene.
No, but Thor saw it move and realized that Cap could have moved it. He was elated that he couldn't, but then he says, I knew it, realizing that in Ultron, Cap could have moved it at the time.
You're just making shit up now on the spot.
Even if it was... firstly, this is the Russo brothers' explanation. And secondly, even if it was fan service, what's wrong with fan service?
I mean, listen, I have a concession about Cap. The whole Cap versus Cap fight sequence in the middle of the movie, I loved it. It was great fan service.
Wow, I didn't see that coming.
I concede. It was great. It was fun to watch. It was great CGI, which is obviously expected from these guys. And it was like a very, very interesting point in that particular plot.
By the way, what part of that do you think was CGI, apart from the fact that they're falling across the building?
Especially whenever
the two caps.
Whenever both their faces are clearly seen, it's obviously CGI.
I actually thought that was like the most old school movie making style, because they found a good reason to shoehorn that Cap's face is covered, the other Cap's. So it's like stunt double zindabad, just do whatever you want.
Of course, for the most part, it's not like the entire movie CGI, in the entire sequence. But that's what I'm trying to say. Fan service works well in moderation. If the entire movie is fan service end to end, every scene is fan service, every goodbye is fan service, every battle is fan service, it doesn't make for a good watching overall. And it's 3 hours, man. 3 hours of fan service. Come on, hold the brakes.
Oh my God, I wish it was six.
Seriously?
I mean, I made it into 9 hours, right? So...
I don't get it, dude.
So we've spoken about Thor and Rene Russo and Captain America. Let's just wrap up the time heist. I mean, I don't have much to say except that it's super fun. Because, yes, it is fan service. You're calling back to previous movies. It's almost like a payoff for just thank you for being with us. And here's like a really good way for us to go back to these movies, you know. Think about how many other movies have like fudged this exact situation up when it comes to sequelitis.
No movie, because no movie's been in this position. And for that, I give Marvel props. Like the whole MCU team, Kevin Feige and whatever these guys have managed to achieve. Obviously, it's very respectable. It's very commendable. Never been done before. Maybe never been like never to be seen again. So for them to be able to wrap up this whole saga of 2023 movies, fine, that's great. But then within the movie, they have to have new elements within the movie. They have to push the buck forward, right?
Fact that they're interacting with their past selves convincingly, they're recreating scenes from the old Avengers. You're seeing literally a scene from Avengers 2012, one of the most iconic movies of all time.
Did you like that scene?
In the
Stark Tower?
The Stark Tower one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like the part where you could see it from a different angle. I thought that was really cool. I like the America's ass part, like Ant-Man, you know?
Yeah, no. I know what you're talking about. I didn't like it.
I mean, what's there not to like? I loved the Hulk pretending to be ferocious Hulk.
That's the only thing I liked, where they're like, no, take the stairs, and then he's walking down the stairs. That was good. That was good fun. But then the whole Loki finding the Tesseract just evaporating somewhere.
I'll tell you
Iron Man getting hurt.
Yeah, okay. I grant you that. But the only part I didn't like is them going back to meet Howard Stark.
Oh, God. That entire sequence could have been cut short by half.
Could have been cut short. Yeah. Half would have been great. Closure and move on.
And then, you know, just like how they alluded to the whole Peggy and Captain America in that thing, that was fine.
That was
great,
right?
But then this whole interaction between Howard and Tony Stark, that made that scene not good.
It was a little long drawn, for sure. Like, and also, like, what's the guy's name? Madman fellow? His wig work was... he needed some work. Get absurd.
You know what I liked about that scene was Jarvis.
Yeah.
That's good fan service.
I didn't like that too much. So, okay.
Oh, because it wasn't like in the face, like for 10 minutes stretched out. I think that's why you didn't like it.
It was just like this random, okay, so Jarvis used to be Howard's butler and then like Iron Man.
You wanted like 5 more minutes of that? Probably.
No. I just think like hug your father and move on, you know? But like, look at what they've done also in terms of setting up so many other things with Disney Plus, like What Ifs. And the Cap and Peggy scene, they allude to it so slightly. And then that justifies, that becomes a backbone for Cap's entire story arc. And the final shot of the movie is him dancing with Peggy. You think it's an Iron Man movie, but it's actually an Iron Man and Captain America movie. Infinity War is a Thor movie. And Endgame is an Iron Man and Captain America movie. It's brilliant.
I agree. It's not brilliant, but I agree with your point. It's not just an Iron Man movie. It's a Cap movie as well. But what my problem with that is, it completely defies the plot they set or the explanations they gave for the whole time travel thing.
I think Cap, we're about to get into it.
Cap is not supposed to be there. All right. Firstly, they start off with the whole time travel thing by taking pot shots at all the commercial movies that did time travel. I'm fine with that as long as you keep your shit in line. If you're breaking your own plot at different points in the movie, then what's the point?
Okay. I'm going to grant you one of my two concessions. And one of those concessions is the logic of Captain America being on the bench. If only he was near the time travel pad, it would actually be logical.
What does near mean? He either has to be on it
okay,
or
on
not.
It. On it.
On it as he left, not aged, not nothing. Because now there are two Caps. You know what my problem is? Because it's so clear and they didn't even like bother to hide it, or maybe they hid it, but they couldn't do a good enough job at it, is that this whole multiverse situation that they introduced in this movie, right? It's just a convenient way for them to have as many plot lines for as many movies and TV shows as possible. Now they just have this faucet of content.
Yeah, but okay, you know, when Ultron set up the next movies, Joss Whedon got shit because they were like, this is out of place. But now they mastered it. They made it part of the plot, right? The fact that Winter Soldier and Falcon are going to be together and he's the next new Captain America, it became an integral part of the plot. It became the ending of Cap's storyline and all the other stuff they've set up. So I grant you that it's a lot of setup, but at least they've mastered it. They made it part of the plot.
Define mastered it. It's not believable. It didn't feel natural at all. It's very plain to see what they've done. It's very evident right in front of your eyes that this is what they're doing. If that's the case, then how have they mastered it? If it was done subtly, if it was like, oh my God, these guys have done that, a realization that comes like an hour after you've seen the movie, then they've sort of mastered it. But
well,
this was right.
I don't know. Think about how they even play with your expectations. Like, for instance, we knew a Black Widow movie is coming out, and then Natasha dies in the middle of the movie. May she rest in peace.
Well, they made it so clear much before Endgame came out that it was going to be a prequel. So yeah,
did they?
Yeah, it's always going to. It was always going to be a prequel.
Okay, whatever it is. Like, at least it was unexpected. So now the fact, because Natasha's dead, it's obviously a prequel. That's mastery, right? So it becomes integral to the plot.
Well, see, that remains to be seen. You're talking about movies that are going to come out in the future. That remains to be seen whether they're good or not. This whole Cap stunt, man, it's literally now it's the Wild West in terms of plot lines. They have two Caps in the storyline. They can literally come out with a movie about this particular plot line in like phase 7 or something whenever they want to. That's not fun to me. That's not good cinema.
You know, one
me.
Of the things they're coming up with is What Ifs, right? So yeah, they can literally do anything they want.
Well, that they've clearly said. Thank God that's going to be an animation. I'm just very curious to see what they come up with that for.
Can we just get back to Natasha dying? Her death was so sad.
Also, they could have given her a funeral, man. As soon as Iron Man died, it's like no one else existed before this guy.
I know, yeah. She should have got a funeral. Apart
kind
from
of
Hulk,
messed up, dude.
Hulk throws a bench in her honor. She should have killed Hawkeye firstly.
Yeah. Also, tell me something. This is a question I have, genuine question. These guys spent so much time in terms of figuring out like stones, kya retrieve karna hai, kahan kya dalna hai. They didn't know that Soul Stone required a sacrifice?
No, how would they know?
Why wouldn't they know?
How would they know? Thanos didn't know when he went.
Gamora knew.
Yeah.
How does Gamora know?
Gamora
randomly?
Didn't know either. She was surprised when she found out.
Oh, so no one in the world knows that Soul Stone requires
sacrifice.
Until
you go there, yeah.
But then when you go back to...
too many people who've gone to Vormir, met the Red Skull. He says, oh, you have to sacrifice someone you love.
And then they just leave.
And then they're like, oops, I didn't bring anyone.
And then to give it back is not a problem. So when Cap goes to give the Soul Stone back, that's fine.
Vikram, we're not talking about
Vikram
how Cap returns the
stones. Vikram, because we don't have an answer, so we don't forget.
It'll be in the what if. Don't worry.
It'll be in like Phase 4, some movie, some 1 minute fan service they do. And you'll be like, oh my God, my mind is blown. Oh my God, the Soul Stone. Oh my God. Oh Jesus, dude.
Do you want my second concession or not?
Yeah, go for it. I'll give you one after that too.
Okay. Get done. My second concession is Hawkeye throughout the movie. The most unnecessary sequence of this movie when they're putting the team together is Hawkeye in Japan. It made no sense.
Yeah. No, they had to show, man. They had to show that he's an evil killing machine
bad,
now.
Right? So then it would have been completely justified if Scarlett Johansson, Natasha, gathered the balls, looked him in the eye and said, you've been murdering people, and pushed him off the cliff. Then it would have made a lot of sense why you had to go through the scene. Here it's like, oh, he has to live with the guild, but he's the one of the family. Also, you remember when like they're fighting and then he's running off the cliff after he's like...
Slow-mo
running.
Yeah.
He's like locking eyes with a man.
Yeah.
It's like really weird.
He's like, you suck.
And then Natasha turns into Batman.
Yeah.
And then just jumps off the cliff.
It is so obvious that
that's
Natasha's
not a concession. No, Natasha Batman I like, but it's the Hawkeye haircuts and the Hawkeye role and just like how angry he is.
You just don't like Jeremy Renner, do you?
No, I like him. I mean, his kids like disappeared. I get it. He's pissed. He's like that person in The Leftovers, the main character, Carrie Coon plays her. She just flips out because in The Leftovers, 5% of the Earth's population disappears. But she's one of the unlucky ones where a whole family disappears.
Oh.
So it is with Hawkeye. So he just kind of loses it, you know. So yeah, Hawkeye, I'll grant you. Also, I'm going to make a montage of all his haircuts in the movie because they keep changing scene to scene.
Oh, do they? I mean, I'm sure you've
also
noticed.
He's like immersed in water. So then they're different. And then he's like, he's wearing the time space helmet when he first goes on the trial time heist.
Yeah.
And then it's all messed up. I'm just like, what is happening? Dude? This is like a $200 million movie. Why is it all different?
Reshoots, man.
Yeah, exactly. So I grant that. My
other concession apart from Cap versus Cap is the literally 5 second sequence that comes mid battle of Spidey insta kill. I love that.
Oh, activate instant kill.
Yeah. That was fun. That's the sort of callback I like because of Homecoming and how petrified he got in terms of I don't want to kill anyone, and suddenly surrounded by like 20 aliens about to die. He's like, yeah, I don't give a shit. Kill everyone inside. I like that.
You just randomly like fan service or not? At least my concession was
my
real.
Fan service is limited. It's not stretched to 5 scenes, bro. It's like a 3 second fan service. Boom. That's what fan service is supposed to be. It's not supposed to be a script.
You know, Hawkeye kept paying the phone bill.
What?
Hawkeye keeps paying the phone bill. There's something that can't get over when you watch the movie.
Oh, for his wife?
Yeah, for his wife.
Jesus.
Maybe that's like a character thing, you know? He's not willing to let go. He just keeps paying Sprint.
Great point. Anything else you have like that? Because I'm sure it's like in numerous points like that.
Oh, for you? No, I have many nitpicks. But, you know, they don't take away from the movie at all. So, it is what it is.
I wouldn't mind hearing some, though.
Fortnite is still a thing 5 years into the future.
Don't defy Fortnite. You never know what it's going to become in 5 years.
Yeah?
Yeah. I hate it though, but still.
Anthony Russo makes an appearance.
Yeah, vanity.
That one took me out of it. I'll grant you
and
that.
It's like bang in the middle, the beginning of the movie, man. That's the most annoying part.
But then there's equally like nitpicks, whatever the opposite is. Just like, oh, amazing moments,
okay.
You know?
Okay.
Like the whole trailer, also the meta stuff, you know, we already talked about Disney Plus. In the trailer, they showed the opening scene of the movie. It's literally the scene that comes before the credits. Now, that's a trailer, bro. Like, the only few shots they showed that weren't from that opening scene was Cap tightening his shield and Ant-Man jumping off a pencil and Hawkeye running during the attack on the Avengers compound. Apart from that, like, I mean, that's brilliant, dude, to not reveal anything but the first 10 minutes. When we were watching it and then the trailer plays out and then the credits roll, I mean, that was a great moment.
Oh, got you excited?
And, you know, semi.
Yeah, did you do something in your pants?
Maybe. Okay. There's also this little moment when the compound is first attacked by the Thanos' ship.
Also, how is it not destroyed then, dude?
Well, it is destroyed. It's just that there's no fatalities.
Zero. Very conveniently zero.
They're all
fatalities.
Superheroes, bro. Apart from Hawkeye and Scarlett Johansson. No, she's dead already.
No, man. What about like everyone else?
Okay, so Ant-Man takes the blast right in the face, but there's this really cool shot. As soon as the blast happens, there's like, you know how cars have like that seatbelt like collision thing? Mm-hmm. As soon as the blast happens, as he's thrown backwards, he's turning smaller. So you see, they thought it through.
Right.
It's like
right.
Crazy justification.
I don't even know how that impact, like if the physics works there or not.
It's like a seatbelt collision thing. How it becomes tighter, it's like that.
No, it's not.
No?
You're just making it up. Just something is happening with Ant-Man, therefore the physics makes sense.
Anyway, dude, I think this is the greatest movie ever.
Really?
I'm done with my nitpicks. I think,
greatest movie ever.
I think this is one of the greatest movie watching experiences ever. I'll say that.
Okay, I mean, I can take that. I can understand that.
You lose the feud.
No, I can take that from you because you just spent 9 bloody hours last night on this movie. But this cannot be the greatest movie ever, dude.
It's up there. It's up there on the IMDb.
Like, according to me, Infinity War was a much better movie watching experience than this movie.
No way, bro.
100%.
What about closure, emotions, gut-wrenching?
Closure, nahi yaar. As a movie experience, when I'm there for my 2 hours, 3 hours, whatever, I'm sitting in a seat watching a movie, IW hands down beats this movie.
First, we call it Infinity War and not IW. Call it Infinity War like a non-asshole. To quote one of my favorite shows, Veep. But I think Infinity War had like moments of goosebumps and this movie had minutes of goosebumps. How's that for a summary? And the other summary is like some version of me calling you Noob Master 69. I'm gonna f*** you up, bro. I'm gonna come there. Heard of me, the God of Thunder?
And that wraps up this week's episode of Film Feud. Hope you guys enjoyed.
Thank you for listening. And now we feuded and you get to decide who you think won the feud. Let us know who you think won the feud. You can reach out to us on all social media at Muncha Movies.
You can also check out this episode along with other episodes on our website, munchamovies.com.
Or find us wherever you listen to podcasts. Until next week.
Bye-bye.